It's been 30 years since anyone less saw or heard from Emerson Dabrowski. On October 28, 1988, the UBC Meteorology Master's student went out with friends Dave, Jim, and Mark to celebrate the end of exams. They went to the popular Pitt Pub, staying until closing time, and while the group all headed out of the door together at around 1 a.m., the friends stopped to talk to someone. Dabrowski continued on. He never made it to his dorm room at Totem Park residence, and his disappearance remains a mystery to this day.
You know, it's still a horror. And everybody was just numb.
Emerson Dabrowski Sr. is Dabrowski's father.
Couldn't believe it. And it's totally out of character for him to just take off like that.
Can you just kind of describe your son for me? What was he like? What do you remember about him?
Well, he was much brighter than I. He had just finished complicating from the University of Saskatchewan. 4 years honors program, graduated with great distinction, first in math, second in physics, or vice versa. I can't remember. He led in one and he was second in the other. And oddly enough, when he was still, I think, probably, I guess, 5 years old, we had him do an early entrance exam with the school board, and he passed it fine. So he went into grade one a year earlier. But they predicted back then that he would probably be strong in math and physics, and that's where he ended up.
Are there any siblings that Emerson had?
No, he was an only son.
Mm-hmm. And I guess your only child as well, eh?
Yeah, okay. We used to have T-shirts, big M and little M.
Tell me a little bit about how his first couple of weeks of the schooling was going, and maybe even specifically one of the last times you spoke to him, if you remember.
Well, actually, the last time I spoke to him was when I drove him out to the airport to return to Vancouver, and he had been doing the rounds with his buds for the 3 or 4 days that he was in Saskatoon. So by the time he finished convocation and took him out the airport, he was whooped. He was really beat.
When did you find out that he was missing? How did that all sort of unfold?
Well, I'd heard on the Friday. I think he was out Thursday night. Exams were finished, and him and a few buds went out down to the Pitt Pub on campus, and so Friday I got a notice from the RCM police, because the RCM police are the campus police, so they're pretty professional, and so I got a notice that he hadn't made it home, and well, I thought to myself, this wouldn't be the first time a student decided to make a long weekend out of, you know, after exams are finished. So I wasn't too concerned on Friday, but when he still wasn't there Saturday, I got the first flight out I could get, and the police were did a really great job of looking for him, helicopters in the air, dogs, everything, and he was gone.
When did realization come that he wouldn't be, you know, found as soon as you maybe thought he would? Did the search start scaling back? Did they get any evidence on where he had maybe gone?
There was zero evidence of anything. So I guess by the beginning of the next week, it was pretty obvious that something's not right.
And now, you know, 30 years later, and it seems like you have just as many answers as you did back when this happened. How do you kind of, how does your family, I guess, deal with that aspect of it?
Well, there's no evidence one way or the other that he's with us or not with us. It's just a void. He went missing in the end of October, just before Halloween. And that following summer, my mother and I were out in Vancouver, and we just decided, we went walking the streets looking for, or asking and showing pictures and whatever, and nothing really, except at, we stopped in at the, the Catholic Cathedral in downtown Vancouver, and the lady there, she was the, I forget what her position would be, but we showed the picture, and she said, "You just missed him." And we asked what she meant, and she said, "He was here half an hour ago." So I said, describe him to me, and I didn't want to lead the answer, so she described him very accurately, pale blue eyes, long fingers, thin, soft-spoken, dirty blonde hair. So I asked what he was doing there, and I guess he'd come in to look for some accommodation, and she referred him to the Catholic men's shelter, 3 or 4 blocks away. So we went over there and asked if he had checked in there, and the guy said, "Well, he had checked in. He's not around now, but he didn't give the name of Emerson Dabrowski. He gave the name John Nash." Now, this was a few years before that movie A Beautiful Mind came out. So at that stage, the only type of person that would know of John Nash are mathematicians, that sort of thing.
Wow. So you think that was Emerson?
I can only hope, because that would mean he was alive the summer following. But I don't know. I really don't know.
And you've mentioned, when this happened, you were living in Saskatchewan, but you've obviously visited Vancouver. I'm wondering how many times during the first couple of months, years, did you end up visiting Vancouver? How long were you here in search of your son?
Well, if I told you, I was probably out there 3 or 4 times. And in total, maybe 20, 30 days. But after a while, it gets, you could be walking down one street, and he could be one street over, and you'd miss him. So my mother, a year or two later, thought she saw him in Las Vegas walking down the street. And they were driving, so they drove past. And so I flew down to Vegas and walked the streets, but like I say, I could be walking down one street and he could be one block over and I'd miss him.
Have police given you any updates through the years?
Well, they, as much as there is, they really don't have anything to tell me. The police have been very cooperative, but there's just nothing to go on.
Dabrowski Sr. now lives on the island and has been in contact with police even more recently as the 30-year anniversary of his son's disappearance approached.
There's been no significant evidence as to what happened to him.
University RCMP Constable Kevin Ray currently handles the puzzling missing persons case.
We've had a number of sightings, corresponding with when news releases go out. We've spoken with Las Vegas Police Department. There was a story out of California through the TV show Unsolved Mysteries where there was a person that had amnesia and matched his description very, very closely, but that was ruled out as well.
So this investigation has sort of taken investigators kind of across borders even?
Across borders, yeah. There was even a couple of sightings, one in Kingston, Jamaica, and one in Barbados. But ultimately, we got in contact with our local police departments there and confirmed that they weren't him.
Is the case still active? Where is it sort of at this moment in time?
Missing persons cases don't close, so it will always remain active. What we're hoping for is that, you know, even 30 years after the fact, somebody might have seen something, somebody might remember something that would give us a clue and aid us in our investigation to find Emerson and hopefully get some closure for the family.
What is sort of like the leading theory?
In reviewing one of the reports from an independent agency that was contracted, the outstanding theory is that there was an accident of some sort, but there's no evidence to support that.
Right. One of the things I had kind of read is that potentially he could have fallen into some sort of construction pit. There was some sort of building that was being built nearby.
Yeah, I'm looking into it at the moment as to what was actually under construction at the time, but the search of the area was quite extensive.
Is foul play still on the table?
No, there's no evidence to suggest any foul play. Initially, there was some talk of some occult things going on at the campus, but I've read all the witness statements and that's all been ruled out.
Right. And now, kind of going back to some of the apparent sightings that have been reported, I know one of the things that Emerson Sr. had told me about is when he was searching sort of the following summer after Emerson went missing, he had gone to some sort of church where a woman had kind of said that he had just missed him and that he was planning to go to a shelter. Is that something police are aware of and have kind of looked into?
Yes, actually. We got that report that he had possibly checked into a shelter, and a independent handwriting analyst actually went and reviewed the sign-in book and confirmed that the signature used to sign in was not Emerson's.
Anything else that kind of comes to mind, or anything that you've kind of come across as reviewing the files? Anything interesting?
No, it's kind of weird because, you know, normally in most cases like this, there's some sort of clue that directs you in a certain direction. In reading all the statements of the people that were there, whether they were his friends, his acquaintances, people that saw him that night, bar staff, the servers at the time, everyone remembers him being there, and then he left, and no one saw him again.
One last question would be, do you think there's someone out there that holds some sort of key, or are you guys looking for some sort of more physical evidence, or, you know, I guess what's ultimately missing in terms of bringing closure to this missing person case?
The hope is that somebody actually saw where he went, and that might lead us to some physical evidence as to where he is now.
Dabrowski Sr. holds out hope that his son is alive. As for whether or not he'll see closure...
Yeah, I can hope, but it's pretty slim. I'm 3 months, I'll be 73, so I'm going to run out of time.
If you have any information that could help police in the investigation into Emerson's disappearance, call University RCMP at 604-224-1322. If you wish to remain anonymous, you can call Crime Stoppers at 1-800-222-8427 or visit their website, bccrimestoppers.com. I'm Monica Gould.